Although the primary theme of Pope Benedict's latest encyclical was economic and social issues, the document was wide-ranging in its scope and analysis. Pope Benedict stresses that the human race is a single family working in true communion, and expresses concern about the lack of solidarity and fraternity visible in today's society. And this lack of a true community spirit is the main theme of a new book entitled Desocialization: The Crisis of Postmodernity, that looks at the lack of ties or social disaggregation in present-day Britain. The book's author is Matthew Ford, a Catholic and professor of modern history who teaches at the Pontifical Lumsa University in Rome. He began by telling me what prompted him to write this book.
Well, about 25 years ago, in my mid-20s, when I was living in Great Britain, I became increasingly aware of the dynamics moving towards a loss of ties at a whole series of levels. I use the term desocialization in the sense of cultural realities which systematically impose upon people isolation and loneliness in a whole series of forms. And what I've noticed over the last 25 years is that, in fact, these dynamics have intensified.
So, why? Why have they intensified, in your view?
I think it's because the fundamental bases of authentic community have become increasingly weakened, and a weakening process becomes really an accelerating process. But I think that these dynamics were already very apparent in the 1970s. And certainly the statistics that have emerged over the last 25 years have indicated really an intensifying process. If one looks at statistics, for example, on the disintegration of the family, this is very evident, or elements like the increase in crime and of violence and so forth.
And what, in your view, are the main reasons for this?
Well, in the Western world, where desocialization is increasingly felt, there are, of course, a whole series of thinkers and philosophers who address themselves to this question. One can think of Etzioni in America, Putnam as well. A number of French authors are also very interested in the subject. Now there's an increasing consensus, I would say, that in the Western world we are faced on a very broad front with these realities of increasing isolation, loneliness and non-belonging. 25 years ago, this kind of agreement wasn't there. I think the major divergence now is the explanation. And here there are major divergences which are based on different views of the world and different views of man. Now, my book is a Christian, a Catholic critique of desocialization. That is to say that I believe the only way we can really understand this phenomenon is through a Christian view of what man is, what culture should be, what society should be, and what the cosmos is. So it is therefore a Christian critique. Now, my central idea is that nowadays, rather than having a correct vision of man and recognizing the soul in man and recognizing spirituality in man and recognizing that the stewardship of the soul naturally leads to love for love and love for truth, which is the essential basis for true community at all levels. Instead of this, with the processes of de-Christianization, which in Great Britain have been extremely intense, we've got the establishment of alternative views of man. These are materialist views of man, which do not see the spiritual in man and do not see the transcendent in the cosmos. And these views of man, which I call false anthropologies, I mean the idea that man is his body or that man is his psyche or that man is a product of society or man is a creature that strives after power or wealth, I mean I list them all, that these anthropologies systematically generate selfish individualism. And selfish individualism cannot sustain authentic community. In fact, it goes against it. At the same time, of course, we've got relativism, The denial of truth. Relativism murders truth. It also actually murders itself, because when applied to itself, it collapses. But it assaults a truth. So these false anthropologies, these false visions of man with relativism, assault love for love and love for truth, which is the Christian message, which is the gospel message, and therefore make authentic community impossible. And my thesis is that the ravages, the devastating ravages that we're seeing, and the enormous suffering that we're seeing now in Great Britain, are a direct result of this revolution of visions of man, which, of course, is not only of the last decades. It's deeply rooted in the history of the West and goes back to the Enlightenment and beyond, and also to humanism. But it's particularly intensified in the last few decades, with really the very intense process of de-Christianization, the fact that essentially now we're living in a post-Christian culture.
I know it's difficult to point fingers here, but I mean, do you think in some ways government has played their role in this de-Christianization, this secularization, or do you think it's a process that was anyhow astir and we got it also from other countries?
I mean, de-Christianization in Great Britain, according to the statistics we have, really very rapidly accelerates after the Second World War. Now, the question is, why is it that a nation which in the 19th century was one of the most Christian nations in Europe, where religiosity was very high, where Christian culture was very widely disseminated, why has this de-Christianization taken place? Now, that's a very big question, and it's a question which historians must address. I think there are a whole series of factors. The analysis is very problematic. What I notice particularly is the role of the intelligentsia, the role of intellectuals, the role of authors, and the role of writers.
What about the role of the media?
Well, the role of the media as well, perhaps. But I think that if you look at people who are sort of generating thought and generating thinking, also the universities, also the schools, you're observing currents of thought which have a very important role in assaulting Christian culture. And it seems to me now no accident in this trajectory that when one considers what we call political correctness, at the center of which, of course, is the doctrine of relativism. Political correctness essentially is the political expression of the philosophical current that we call postmodernism. The adherents of this movement are extremely strong now in the powerpoints of cultural formation. I'm referring to schools, I'm referring to universities in particular, publishing houses, television, radio, and large areas of the newspapers. And when you read the ideas of these people, their views of man, their views of society, their views of the cosmos, you can see not only very often are they non-Christian, but they're positively anti-Christian.
You talked a number of times there about relativism, and this, of course, is a theme that was raised, one of the many themes, should I say, raised by Pope Benedict in his newest encyclical. What's your impression of this latest papal encyclical?
I think this is a wonderful encyclical. When Pope Ratzinger was elected...
Pope Benedict.
I beg your pardon, Pope Benedict. I had the feeling that just as John Paul II had, as part of his papacy, directed our attention towards the impact of materialism in the communist world, particularly in Europe, I thought that Pope Benedict, one of the things he would do would be to direct our attention towards materialism in the Western world. And I felt this very much reading the homily on the eve of his election, in which he expressed the view that we were constructing a dictatorship of relativism. Now, I have followed his speech with very great care, and one can see that on a number of occasions He is directing our attention to what has been happening in the Western world, and it seems to me that he's very, very sensitive to the kind of themes that I address in my book.
Yes, I was going to say, can you perhaps talk about some of these parallel themes that are mentioned in your book and are also in Caritas in Veritate?
Yeah, it seems to me that this encyclical, of course, presents the social doctrine of the Church, and it presents a whole series of ideas, principles, approaches, philosophy and so forth, which are designed to help man achieve true community, true society, authentic experience with each other. Of course, being that kind of document, it's not specifically directed towards desocialization in the West. But nevertheless, anybody who's very interested in desocialization in the West is going to look in this encyclical for certain key ideas and certain points of departure that can help in our analysis. Now, for example, what I say in my book is that if we abandon the vision of the soul in man, if we abandon spirituality in man, if we abandon the idea that healthy spirituality generates community, because spirituality and community are proportionate. If one takes that point of view, one can see, for example, that near the end of the encyclical, the Pope says the question of development is closely bound up with our understanding of the human soul. I mean, there's a very, very clear statement of how we must remember the spiritual dimension of man if we want to create an authentic society. Other very important statements which are very strategically located in the encyclical, which have very much struck me. For example, at the beginning of chapter 5, and chapter 5 is a very incisive chapter, but right at the beginning, the Pope says, one of the deepest forms of poverty a person can experience is isolation. Now, this immediately alerts us to how man is called to community. In Genesis, we're told it's not good that man should be alone. It's a kind of rallying cry, in a way, by the Pope. On other occasions, both as cardinal and as Pope, he's talked about isolation and disintegration of family and also depression that can follow from this sort of things. But this is a statement that we should really look at the Western world, at this kind of poverty, which is not necessarily material poverty, but it's human poverty and it's emotional poverty and poverty of isolation. Take another very important statement, again, very strategically located. At the beginning of chapter 4, the Pope says, many people today would claim that they owe nothing to anyone except to themselves. Now, anyone studying the West and studying Great Britain immediately sees the lifestyle of selfish individualism. The idea that love for neighbour is not an ethical imperative. Love for neighbour is an ethical imperative. It's what we are called to do by divine law. And this statement also very much alerts anybody studying the West to exactly this kind of problem, is that we're not thinking in social terms, we're not thinking in terms of responsibility, we're not thinking really in terms of authentic morals and ethics. That would bring me to another point. What's very interesting also when reading this encyclical in relation to the economy, in relation to the market economy, is the Pope says very, very clearly that there must be an ethical presence. That is to say that, you know, we cannot accept relativistic positions, we cannot accept nihilistic positions, we have to accept the idea that we ought to behave towards people in a certain way. We ought to express love for neighbour in our economic relationships as well. And this, of course, is extremely pertinent, particularly now when the Western world and the world more generally is going through an economic crisis, when we have to pose the question, why is this occurring?
Indeed, I mean, and that's obviously why there was so much interest, I think, in this encyclical, precisely, as you say, because we are going through this crisis. And he was pointing to the way, if not, you know, technical solutions to get out of it, but at least the principles we should live by and apply in our
lives. And I would absolutely entirely agree with this, of course, in my own humble capacity. And certainly when reading the encyclical, I saw all these points and these observations, which for me personally were enormous relevance to what I've been trying to write about at a much lower level, of course.
I was talking to Matthew Ford, the author of a new book entitled Desocialization: The Crisis of Postmodernity.